Word Jam.
Alrighty.
Looks like they're at dinner right now, actually.
Tom, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you turn your speaker up?
I can hear static from the other little speaker, not mine. What's going on? Are we ready? Who's in charge?
Outside of that small detail, I'm ready.
An extra 5 seconds, correct? So technically, although it will only be 155, we are giving them 160 worth of material. Otherwise known as 2 minutes.
Can they hear Spencer talk?
Good evening, here's this weekend's line of the best 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 of the
best of the best of the best of
the best of the best of the best of the best of the best of the best of the We, you know, it's never intended that there shouldn't be activity in the background. You people can scurry around like ants if you wish. All right, here we go. Ready, Black? Ready, up on one with music, Chiron, and cue. And Black. And up and cue.
Okay. Come on.
That's almost worth the same deal.
Yeah, that's got to be safe.
There's something credible there.
It's got to be safe. Well, not to mention the fact that he...
What were you doing, Lisa? I
was moving the chair.
The chair doesn't matter where the chair is.
But you saw me back there.
I did, and I want to catch you. No, I wanted to see you back there.
How much
you can be back there.
How can you kill him if you're behind him? But it makes no sense.
This is
People.
There's a BIO activity going on.
Vern would have been like to be behind him smoking a cigarette, though.
Yeah.
Ready up on one with music, Karen, and Q, and we're still rolling, I assume.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Black, and up and Q. Come on.
Hey, man, here's the...
Bring us off,
Karen. You can shut up back there, sorry.
Save that one, too. All right, slate up again, please. Up and Q.
Good evening. Here's this weekend's lineup of the best of the Minnesota Channel on TPT17. Creative Powers of Aging premieres on Saturday at 8 p.m.
Roll 81.
Well, there is research that suggests that creativity, whether it's visual arts, the more you create, more dendrites in your brain.
Someday we'll make a TV show.
For more info on all TPT programs, head to tpt.org.
Music up.
And 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
out.
So you worked the Viking games. What's that all about?
That's not a good question.
Why don't you ask the questions that you're going to answer?
No, I'll have you ask the question. Okay, so to answer the question you didn't actually ask, but you wanted to ask, but you couldn't get it together to ask it in the right way so that I could answer it in the way that you wanted it, I'll just improvise. So, my gig is, I do parabolic mic on the sidelines at the Vikings game. And that's, your job is first and foremost to get the sound of the punts, the referees' whistles, the quarterback barking out signals, and ultimately the highlight of your life is to get the sound of a running back or a wide receiver getting tackled and smashed, and hopefully you don't get creamed in doing so. But, so that's what the gig is.
Almanac is a production of Twin Cities Public Television for the stations of Minnesota Public Television.
So 4 and cue him.
We are loaded for bear tonight. All four legislative leaders join us this evening to talk about the end of the session. Jesse Ventura's interview with Mary LaHammer. Hi, Berman is here. A political panel. And here's Mary.
Thank you.
And so when you're doing this gig, you're considered to be a utility person. And so on the Saturday before the game, you come in and your gig is just to wire up, well, basically whatever they tell you to. But I've gotten it down to a fine science where what I do is I get there early and I say, hey, man, go to the head tech guy who is this ugly, monstrous-looking, mean son of a bitch, much like you. And you say, hey, this is what I do. I wire up all the cameras on the field. So typically the guy says, oh, okay, fine. So you load a card up with maybe, you know, 5 or 6 massive rolls of triax cable and roll it down on the field. And then you have to crawl under the stands and you have to hook it all up to the appropriate cables that somebody tells you which to hook up. Now, they're bigger around than your thumb. 500-foot roll of triax cable weighs about 200 pounds. Maybe you have six of those. You have a flashlight, you crawl under the stands, and it's like a lot of vomit, peanut shells, beer cans, that kind of stuff. And you have to find the appropriate cables hanging down, and you connect them, and the guy in the truck connects them to the truck and so forth. So I'm wearing, my cables are all wired up, and they're building this camera, so it comes in three parts, you know, the lens, the body, and some other part. So I got my cables running. So if you get your shit done on Saturday, once you're done, everything works, you're free to go, and you get paid for the rest of the day. So my job, or my goal, is always to be done at noon, get the hell out of there, and split. So my cables are all run, and I say, they're building this camera in the end zone, and he looks at this, and he said, man, you're almost done, man. You can split. And I said, don't say that. Connect the cable to the camera, and boom, it lights up. It's got power. It's got the picture. Everything's cool. And he goes, man, since you're almost done, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to bolt that camera and tripod to that platform it's sitting on. And I look at it, and there's no holes in it. There's no eye bolts or anything. And I said, okay. And there's a guy at the dome who's in charge of, you know, painting everything. The platform the camera's on, the paintings, the lines on the field. And he's got a crew of maybe 100 guys. So I said, okay, I'll go talk to the dome dude and see what it takes to do this. And I go and walk across the football field, and there's the dome dude. And there's a little electric cart. And I say, hey, man, the Fox guy wants to chain the camera and bolt it down to the platform. He goes, no, we don't do that here. Okay. So I walk back across the football field and say, the dome dude says they don't do that there. Here, they don't do that. Here at the Metrodome. And the guy looks at me and he says, I'm the Fox dude and you're gonna bolt the camera to that platform. And if you don't do it, I'm gonna break your ass in two and throw you out in the snow. And if you don't do it right, you'll never work for Fox again. So you better get your scrawny little ass in gear. Now, the situation here is there is no HR department. The guy who's sitting down in the truck has directed the last 17 Super Bowls, and that is the camera guy's best friend. And he's in charge. So you have two alternatives. You can either walk out into the freezing snow, not get paid with your tail between your legs, or you can figure out how to lock the goddamn camera down to the platform. So, it's what I do. I walk underneath the stands, and there's a tool crib with a huge sign that says, no smoking, with this old guy sitting there smoking a cigar. And I walk up to the guy and says, hey man, can I borrow a couple monkey wrenches? He says, sure, give me your credit card. So I hand him my American Express card. He gives me two monkey wrenches. I go to the folded up stands because they fold the baseball stands up. So I go take some bolts out of these to hold the stands together, thinking, they'll probably hopefully fix this when baseball season comes around. Go and take some bolts out, get the appropriate stuff, and take the guy's monkey wrenches back. He gives me my credit card. I walk across the football field to the other side of the stands, and there's another guy in a different tool crib. He's got all these electric drills and all that shit. No smoking sign. He's smoking a cigarette. And I said, man, can I borrow a Makita with a 3/4 inch bit? He goes, yeah, man, sure. Give me your credit card. So I give him my credit card. Take the Makita, look around. No dome dude around. Nobody around. Walk across to the end zone. Take the Makita. Drive a hole right through that wooden thing. Put the bolt in there. Put the chain on there. Bolt some bitch together. Take the Makita back. Hand it back to the guy. And get my credit card back. Go find the 6'8" massive redheaded football player and say, hey, man, come check it out. I bolted your camera down for you. And he looks at it and says, damn, good job. let's see, you're booked till 6 p.m. It's now 1:30. You're good to go. You're out of here. And by the way, give yourself 2 hours overtime. See you in the morning.
According to His Honor's ruling on what's happening in these bars, nothing has been offered to suggest that there is a storyline or even a story being portrayed on an improvisational basis or otherwise. There is no script, choreography, staging, etc., which resembles anything. Okay, that's not a good review. I guess maybe you'd even call it a pan, but in my world, it's kind of minor league stuff. As a professional theater critic, I have called for theaters housing particularly stinky shows to be fumigated. I've likened attendance at certain plays to spending time in purgatory, opined that others put you in touch with your inner narcoleptic, and in one review, I said that I could feel my internal organs shutting down from a play's sheer toxic awfulness. This is how we card-carrying members of the American Theater Critics Association do it. And as a proud representative of that organization, I feel compelled to lay out some boundaries here. I mean, think about it. Do you want me, whose only legal experience consists of watching Law and Order and contesting the occasional speeding ticket, putting on the black robes and playing judge?
Ready music.
Of course not. By the same token, you want some guy who probably doesn't know the difference between a Fresnel and a proscenium arch being an armchair theater critic?
Nah.
I'm just saying. Your Honor, leave it to the pros.
Music up so far, the place of the caravan.
So the deal is I'm on the sidelines. And there's all these very specific rules. There's all these lines that most people don't know what they are. And it says, this is where the photographers can be. And this is where Fox Video TV can be. And then there's a place, there's a diamond at each end of the bench where you can be in and you cannot get any closer than that. Okay, there's all these complex rules and what line you can cross and not. I look down this aisle and here is all these photographers lined up. And there's this one chick who is extremely attractive. And she's got a couple big-ass digital cameras hanging off of her. She's got her own personal security guard with an IFB in his ear. And she's got armor-plated knee pads on. And then, like, I don't know what you would call them, but foam rubber kind of pads around her ankles. You can't hardly help notice someone like that. And so I noticed how she would, like, creep across the photographer line and no one would say anything to her. And so when you're doing Parab, you have a security detail that's basically there to push people out of their way if the photographer's getting your way. And I would see her kind of inch out there at the appropriate time to get her shot. And so I asked this guy, I said, so who is this chick? The thing I couldn't help but notice is that when she bent over, I could see that on one of her arm, her right arm, she had a penis tattooed on her arm. Well, that impressed me right away. But then what impressed me even more is from another angle, I saw that on her other arm, the back of her arm, she had a different type of tattoo of a penis. Well, you can imagine what my libido was doing in front of 60,000 people. So I says to the security guy, I said, so who is this chick? And he said, oh, well, she's the head sports photographer for USA Today. You know, you understand why they got the knee pads on, because they're always on their knees. They can, you know. I said, well, what are the pads around her ankles for? She says, that's to kick the shit out of anybody who gets in her way. The thing about her is that over the course of time, is that we would kind of work together, but it was an unspoken thing. I mean, we never had a conversation. Is that when I would see her sort of coming because she's trying to get a shot and I had nothing to do, I could spin around and sort of block some of the assholes so she could get by to go get her photography shot. And then when I'm in the middle of what I'm doing and trying to get to where I'm going and there's a bunch of photographers in my way, she would just literally spin around and block some of these guys because, you know, she had the security guy, so she had a lot of authority and clout. And boom, she'd knock these guys out of the way and zip, there I'd go. And the photographers, they always have a piece of tape around their ankle that identifies them and so that you know what hierarchy they are. They have, like, purple. Purple is the highest. She would always have purple. Then they have red, which is like, you know, I guess national must be purple, local, like the main paper, kind of amateurish kind of people that still get access, or like yellow or something like that. But so you can always tell by the tape they have on their leg.
Lights up. This is off one and two.
This week, Governor Jesse Ventura talked to the Minnesota media for the first time since he left office. What's life like in Mexico?
Life is great in Mexico. I live half the year here and half the year down there. I live here more than Al Franken.
Just don't drink the water.
Put it that way, even now.
Yeah.
There's no wrap-up, so at the end of event 22, she'll kiss it off to camera two.
I don't know if you heard the news of yesterday that three gubernatorial portraits were vandalized at the Capitol, and it was Elmer L. Anderson's, Harold Levander's, and yours. And so all three had to be removed late yesterday. Your portrait was taken down along with Levander and Anderson.
Is it damaged beyond repair?
No, it's being restored.
Oh, that's too bad that there are still things like that that happen.
So I'm at the edge of the field, and they hand off to Adrian Peterson. He's now got 395,000 yards in one game. They're killing whoever it is, and I've got the thing, like the shot, as it were. I've got the guy is coming right at me, and I'm leaning over the, you know, I'm totally illegal on the edge of the field, leaning the parab out. The guy's coming at me. I see the other guy getting ready to tackle him. This is it. I'm getting the big crunch. And guess what they did? They punched the return from LA into my ear. And so in this ear, I'm hearing what I'm hearing in real time. And in this ear, I'm hearing what I'm hearing 2 seconds delay. It's like having a complete and total mental breakdown. And I'm thinking, it's like Red Fox. Martha, this is the big one. I'm thinking I'm having a stroke with a 320-pound running back with a plastic hat coming at me.
There's a BI activity going on.
Vern would have been like to be behind him smoking a cigarette, though.
Yeah. Three, two, one,
and black
out.
Number 26.